Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. Proverbs 27. I truly believe the Lord's given me light on this passage of Scripture. If he hasn't, it won't be a blessing to any of us. But if he has, then it will be to God's people. Proverbs 27, verses 3 and 4. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? The scriptures declare all things as they are. And that we might have some understanding of the seriousness of man's offense against God and the penalty for our offense, a natural illustration. These are proverbs. These are parables. It's an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. And we all know that the heavenly meaning is the glory of Christ. We know that, Kevin. If the Lord gives us understanding into the heavenly meaning, we shall behold the glory of Christ. So the scripture starts off this morning giving this earthly illustration. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty. Now I've tried to look at these words and discern the meaning from books that tell and explain Hebrew, and this is what it's saying. It says it's talking about a stone. That's what it's talking about. A rock is heavy, a stone is heavy, and the sand is weighty. Now, with that illustration, let me tell you what my mind, and I'm sure yours, has done. Our minds will naturally consider weight. It's said that a stone's heavy, a sand is weighty. We start thinking about how heavy is it, how big is it, how big is a stone? Is it a little stone, big stone? We start thinking about, you know, and how are we going to deal with heaviness? How are we going to deal with it? And depending on the size of the stone or the amount of the sand, that weight may present a problem. But if it's within the realm of a man's ability to deal with the weight, if it's within the possibility of a man to be able to deal with it, well, then there's a remedy. A road construction company, if it has enough equipment, enough manpower, enough money, enough time, they can move a mountain. How big's a rock? Well, how much time you got? How much money you got? But then the scripture says that there's something said to be heavier. We talk about weight of these natural things, but there's something that's heavier. And that is more severe, more difficult, or more grievous than the physical weight of a natural stone or sand. And here's what it is. It's something that's heavier. A fool's wrath is heavier than them both. fool's wrath, that trouble, that rage, or that anger from a stubborn, unreasonable person that exhibits anger that weighs on the heart. Now there's a weight that's different. I can look at a boulder and say, how much do you think that thing weighs? I'd say 500 pounds. I don't think I can pick that up. Well, there's something that's heavier, and it's the fool's wrath. Now, this word wrath in verse 3, there's the word wrath, verse 3. It's a word that is used, it sets forth impulsive indignation. Now, it's very important because verse 4 starts off with the word wrath, but it's a different word. I'll, Lord willing, get to it in just a minute. I'm going to tell you what this in verse 3 means. The word wrath in verse 3 is a word, and it sets forth impulsiveness. It's the weight that is upon the heart when something is done and provokes someone right now. It's something that they've done. It was something that was brought on. It's wrath or anger that is produced because of something that someone does or doesn't do. And this type of wrath, it can be associated with a human being. I got to think about, you think about the tenderness of a loving and caring mother that loves her child. That's the child that she bore, and you know. But you let that child take and pick up the prized vase that her mother told her, "Don't touch it, don't touch that." And you let that child pick up that vase, play with it, bring it outside, and drop it on the sidewalk. And immediately, that mother, that loving, kind, considerate mother, would do anything for that child. Anger, wrath. Why? It was impulsive. It was something that happened right now. That type of anger. Now the reason I'm going to say this scripture is because it's the same word that's used. That word wrath. That is wrath. Now to us, we have no control over our anger. I mean, I wish I could control my anger. But buddy, when you get mad, you're mad. And it's uncontrollable. But a fool's wrath is like that. But even the divine wrath of God can be that which, and I'm going to just tell you the way it is. These are the words that the Holy Spirit has used. So therefore, we can't compare our uncontrollable wrath with the wrath of God when it's the same word. But I'm going to tell you what the scripture, what we're talking, the issue here is something that caused it to be provoked. That's the thing. It's a provoked wrath. Something that someone did. This is the issue here. Hold your place in Deuteronomy, Proverbs, but turn over to Deuteronomy 32. Let me show you something. Deuteronomy 32. The issue of the wrath that's used in verse 3 is it's something that was provoked. It's something that someone did. All right. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 15 through verse 19. Now listen to these scriptures. But Jeshurun. Now, Jeshurun is not set forth as being a person. It's not a person. What Jeshurun is, it's Israel. It was the people of God, and it was a symbolic name given for Israel, those who profess to believe God. I'm going to just tell you right now that it's those that profess in our day and age. It would be those that profess to believe the gospel. I mean, there's a lot of religions, that don't believe anything. And I mean, you say, well, they're professing to be the people of God, and what they're professing is evident. I'm talking about people that believe the gospel. That would be the association here. Old Israel, new spiritual Israel, people that claim to be. So Jeshurun here is not a person that you'd think it would be some man or something. It's a word that is symbolic, that's given for spiritual Israel who appear for a while to be upright, but prove later by their actions to not be. And the word that I'm looking for in what I'm about to read to you is in verse 19. It's that word provoked. Provoked. Listen to this. Let's read it. Deuteronomy 32, 15, 19. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations, provoked him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came up newly when our fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat them thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred him because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. Now that's the same word that's used concerning a fool's wrath. Again, we don't associate. We're not talking about the same. I'm uncontrolled. God is completely controlled. But the issue is provoking. It's something that someone has done. That's the wrath. Now back in Proverbs. Proverbs 27. I'll read that verse 3. We'll go right on verse 4. A stone is heavy, the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath, provoked wrath, impulsive wrath in a fool is heavier than them both. But then in verse 4, wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. But who's able to stand before envy? Now, here in verse 4, as I told you a moment ago, there's that word wrath. But that word wrath is a different word. It's not a word associated with impulsiveness. This wrath is said to be a cruel wrath, and I'll tell you what it's associated with. Jealousy. Envy. We'll deal with it. And the reason I say that, because of the reading of that verse, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who's able to stand before envy, jealousy? Now that wrath, it's said to be cruel. They're not cruel in the sense that he was cruel to a cat. You know, he pulled a cat's tail. That's not the word. The word is, it's fierce and it's terrible. And anger, that is, anger that is said to be of rapid breathing. It's outrageous. It's overflowing. It's a flood. It's a deluge. Now this wrath right here, in verse 4, as I said, is one that seems, it's not the same word with impulsiveness because of something somebody did. This word in verse 4 is a jealousy. An envy. And it's the word in verse 4, wrath, that is associated or used when the angered party has been offended. Somebody has offended me, and he intends to save his name or avenge his name because of someone has done something to his character. I told you about that little the baby. Use the illustration of the baby dropping the vase. Okay. The mama may get mad, but the little baby didn't do anything toward the character of the mama. That wrath was an impulsive wrath because of what that child did. Now this wrath in verse 4 is wrath, it's outrage because of someone that has done something to my character. Hold your place right there and turn with me to Genesis 27. This is the first Genesis 27. This is the first time that this word wrath in verse 4 is used. Genesis 27, in verse 41 to 45. This is when Esau, remember Jacob and Esau? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And you remember when it was the Lord's will that Jacob would receive the blessing, the birthright. And Esau, who sold his birthright for some pottage, for some soup, sold it. He said, I'm gonna die if I don't get something to eat. He sold it. But Esau was offended. He was offended because of what Jacob, in Esau's mind, had done to him. Esau sold it, but he was offended. Now the scripture says, here's the first time that this word wrath is used. And actually it's I'm going to be reading in Genesis 27, verses 41 to 45. And the word, same word wrath in Proverbs 27:4 is found here as the word fury. Same word. All right, now Genesis 27, verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. But now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise and flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury, same word wrath, turned away. Now, that wrath, that fury, was there in Esau's heart because of, in his mind, his honor, his name, his glory, his right had been offended. And vengeance toward Jacob was Esau's desire. But though wrath associated with jealousy, you know, or envy for the offense of one's name can be and is associated with men. We just read it. That's the word the Spirit of God used, and it can be found among men. The holy and righteous jealousy of God toward all who have dishonored His name is infinitely different. His divine wrath is eternal, and it's just. Now here's where we must consider the seriousness of failing to do that which is required of all for acceptance with God. I mean, man by nature, you know, he says, well, he'll look at that, you know, he'll think of concerning the judgment of God, the wrath of God, and he'll think, you know, well, like that little baby that broke the vase. Mama was mad. Well, I may not be the best, but I haven't done so and so. And he starts comparing himself to somebody else. I mean, you know, I may have done a few things, but again, I'm not, you know, I haven't done. But brothers and sisters, listen, it's not what we have done, it's what we failed to do when it comes to the glory of God. You know, we've got to consider that the anger of a man whose character has been offended, it could be quieted. I mean, in Esau's mind, Jacob had offended his character. And with a man, that anger, that wrath, it may be quieted. It could be quieted by something that the man that's done the offending does, by his work, by an apology, by some gifts. In fact, okay, if you're still in Genesis, turn over to Genesis 33, verses 1 to 4. That with a man, that could be quieted by another's works. It could be. Let me show you. Genesis 33, verses 1 to 4. And Jacob. Now, Jacob, as far as Esau's concerned, you're the culprit. But you remember, just for the sake of time, I'll tell you this. Oh, Jacob had been sending all of these people forward with him with gifts and animals, and he had all kinds of blessings he was sending to Esau to appease him by something he could do. And here was the result of it. Genesis 33, 1 to 4, Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came with him 400 men. And he divided the children, Leah and Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids, the children foremost, and Leah and her children after Rachel, and Joseph hindermost. And here's what he's thinking. Here comes his brother Esau. Esau's offended. He's offended because his name was offended, his honor was offended, his right was offended. He's offended. And Jacob sees him coming with 400 men. Now, what do you think he thinks? This is it. He divides up his household, and he said, well, if he goes after one, at least the other will escape. He's got a plan. But look at verse 3 and 4. And he passed over before them, and he bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Oh, what an ending. Oh, Esau had a change of heart. It worked out. It was so good. They reconciled and they told each other, that's a man. Now listen, you that know him not, you that know him and you that know him not, let us all hear something. That's men. That's men. But when it comes to appeasing God, we're not talking about men whose emotions can go one way or the other. When it comes to God, you, or for me, that might think that God's like one of us. God's not like one of us. Let me tell you, the God that we're going to stand before. Listen to me. I'm saying something. I feel myself getting older. I'm looking at my family. I'm looking at some in my family right now that could be dying today. I know I could, but humanly speaking, we're going to meet God. We're going to stand before God. And I want you to hear what these scriptures has got to say about who God is. The scripture declares concerning his wrath and the offense of his character, the offense of his name, his honor, his glory. Here's what the scripture says. Listen to me. He will in no wise clear the guilty. The holy wrath of him before whom all men must stand without absolute justice and righteousness being fulfilled. The scripture says back in Proverbs 27, verse 4, latter part, who is able to stand before envy? God's envy. God's glory. God's jealousy. Who is able to stand before him who will never tolerate dishonor or disrespect to himself? Who absolutely demands holy reverence, that his glory and honor never be given to another, never shared with another. Listen to this, Exodus 34:14. For thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4:24, for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. God is jealous of His glory. Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. How tight is that? I'll tell you how tight it is. I mean, what I'm meaning is how serious is that? How stringent is that? If there's ever been a time in my life, before, now, or tomorrow, to where I have failed in myself to give absolute glory, honor, and praise according to God's standard to Him, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. If I failed to do anything that I should have done, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. He's jealous of His glory. He's jealous of His word. Psalm 138:2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. If I have ever failed to honor His word, I'm guilty. Guilty. Shun the thought of thinking, well, I'm not as bad as others. Yes, we are. Don't go there. Don't listen, you might fool me, but we ain't fooling God. He's jealous of His people. Zechariah 2:8, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory, or after His glory, hath He sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of His eye. And there's coming a day in which this issue is going to be openly shown. Scripture says, Revelation 6:17, for the great day of His wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? So may all men hear. Psalm 76:7, thou, even thou, art to be feared. Revered, that is. And who may stand? Who may abide? Who may arise and continue and dwell in thy sight once thou art angry? If God is angry, if God's angry, who can stand? Knowing then the jealousy of the Lord for His glory and for His word and His people, knowing that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, knowing that there's none righteous, no, not one, that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. You say, well, that was back in Genesis 6:5. Right now. Who then shall be able to stand before the just, holy, and jealous God? Stand and not be consumed. I can tell you this, no man born in Adam. Nobody. No man. Lord willing, next service I'm going to speak on, have I received the Lord Jesus Christ? But for right now, I'm going to say this. Somebody will say, well, I've received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Have you honored Him? Have you honored His name, His glory? Have you magnified Him and never deviated? I was baptized. Have you honored Him, glorified Him, honored His character ever been in your heart? Because you're trusting in what you did now. Have you never deviated one ounce? Paul the Apostle said, do you hear what the law says? You that are trusting in the works of the law, you hear what the law says? Men don't know what God's saying. That's the problem. Who shall stand? Turn over to Ephesians 2. I'm going to wrap this up. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath against God. Somebody say, well, I never had a wrathful thought against God. God said we do. And let God be true. And all men are liars. We're by nature the children of wrath. We're by nature. Somebody said, well, I never did it. Lord said, that's our nature. We're children of wrath, even as others. So, being born in Adam, listen to me. We're all guilty. We're all guilty. No excuses. No excuses. Oh, but thanks to the Lord, verse 3 is not where the scriptures end. Look at verses 4 to 9. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. Now look here. With Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thanks be unto God. There's one. According to his own holy character. Power. Ability. And perfect obedience. Who, as the God-man mediator, stood and answered for his people before the unwavering law of Almighty God and honored Jehovah's character. He honored him. And he never knew sin personally. And in him alone is the Father well pleased. Who is he? He's the federal head, the great High priest, the absolute substitute before the just and holy and jealous God, who bore the sin of his people and answered the last demand of God's justice by the shedding of his own blood. He bore the guilt of his people, the people of God's choosing, in his own body. That's what 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Why? Because the people for whom he died were just as guilty as everybody else. There's not one of us that's ever honored God. There's not one of us that ever bowed in heart and never did. All have sinned. We're all guilty. And he bore their guilt and put away, he paid for it. Were we guilty? Yes, we were guilty. Why would he die lest we be guilty? But we have no righteousness. Oh, but we do. Robed in his righteousness. Isn't that an amazing thing? I think that we might be made the righteousness of God. And that's not pretend. robed in his righteousness. We stand in the righteousness of God himself. Christ Jesus our Lord. Who is able to stand and answer for God's sheep? The one who is beloved of the Father. The one in whom the sheep are accepted. The hope of glory. He's the one that the sheep are not ashamed. So Paul the Apostle says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. That's the one that the believer is persuaded. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The one who's able to keep us from falling. That's what Jude 1:24 says. Listen, the Lord, and I want you to just turn right now. I'm going to come up to Zechariah. It's just before, it's about two or three books before you get, maybe one or something, before you get to Malachi. Zechariah 8 is where I'm going to be. But this, the Lord is jealous. He's jealous. He's jealous and envious of his glory and shall execute righteous judgment upon the wicked for their guilt. There's no doubt about it. But in closing, at Zechariah chapter 8, let me read this blessed passage, this last passage right here. Zechariah 8 verses 1 to 8. Concerning the Lord's jealousy. He's jealous. Jealous of his honor, and he executes righteous wrath against all who dishonor him. But listen to this blessed passage of Scripture about his jealousy. It's a jealousy that you and I that know him and believe him rejoice in. Zechariah 8 verses 1 to 8. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy and was jealous with her with great fury. That is, in that verse right there, verse 2. It speaks of that righteous jealousy of God against the enemies of his people. Satan, sin, and the world. But concerning his love for her. Thus saith the Lord, verse 3. I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Before I read, I'm going through verse 8, but many of the writers referred this just to old Jerusalem and the return of people from Babylon and stuff like this. Robert Hawker wrote a little part on this right here, and it just such blessed my heart. I'm going to tell you what he said. He was talking about this passage of Scripture. He said in the greatest and most honoring sense unto the Lord, it speaks of the joy of the Lord to bring his elect church all out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, bringing them together. The holy Jerusalem. That's the spiritual blessing of this. Now knowing that, he says in verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy? Only the Lord himself can stand in his own character, be made flesh, be made sin, satisfy God, put away their guilt, robe his own in his own righteousness, and God accept him. May the Lord be honored and his people rejoice in him alone. Amen. All right.